Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, happy new year, America. We have 2025 just around the corner. It falls on a Wednesday this year. You know, that's hump day, just like Christmas did. It breaks up the week a little bit, but man, is it hard to go back to work on Thursday afterwards. But this is not Saturday. We pre-recorded it, but this is airing on Saturday. And so we've got the weekend in preparation for the new year. We just got through the Christmas season. Hopefully everybody got what they wanted for Christmas. It's an important year ahead, though, and it may set the direction for America for decades to come. 2024, that was certainly memorable and an inflection point and tumultuous. You know, Deuteronomy lays it all out. In New King James, it says, Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And in 2025, we will be making some choices. We made some choices last year. Did we make the right choice? To help answer that question, I'm joined by my regular co-host of Private Pirate Money Radio, the amazing Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Great to be here. I choose life under Deuteronomy. I'm feeling excited about the upcoming year, the election that just happened out there. So good things ahead.
And we've got some great efforts that you've been leading for our whole Economic War Room Pirate Money team. You've been working on the NSIC, National Security Investment Consultant Institute. You've been working on Economic War Room. And then, of course, Pirate Money Radio and the Pirate Money Initiative.
Yeah, we got a lot on the agenda, but so many things, doors are opening up, we're seeing breakthrough, we're seeing momentum, we're seeing movements happening. It's just exciting to see. You know, it's been a tough, you know, the last 4 or 5 years have been kind of challenging, but now I just feel like we're on the other side of that and preparing for breakthrough.
Yeah, and well, you hosted a great summit for legislators here at Liberty Hawk Ranch during the summer, and we've convinced a lot of state legislators to introduce pirate money legislation. We had at that event, it was so fun. We had magic tricks, a great magician, Jim Monroe, performed for us. We had good food. We had great meetings, great presentations. But we also had the amazing Danny Griego.
Award-winning artist. You know, to have him actually say, hey, I believe in what you guys are doing is important, and I want to share a song with you. That was pretty cool.
And the song was Freedom. He just sent me the video of it, so it reminded me. I think we played it last week on this program when Marnie was sitting in that chair. Let's play that again. And if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or the podcast, you can see the video. But just listen to the song. It's all about freedom, and that's what we're about. Go ahead.
On a branch of a tree made for you and me, ever reaching for the sky, heaven sent for you and I, grows freedom. It don't matter where you're born,
who you are, or what you've done.
Believe with all your might,
you too will find love's light. Freedom.
Freedom knows no weights or bounds. Freedom,
wings that lift you off the ground. Freedom.
Well, eternally, always worth the fight.
Turning darkness
into light.
The light of freedom.
That just impacts me so much. At the very end of the video, they put on some words on the screen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand then firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What appropriate song for this time.
It is, and a theme as we move forward in 2025. You know, we didn't have the opera singer at the summit event, but we had was the legislators and that part where he says freedom, and then the you respond back in the audience with freedom. There's an energy that's there, and if there's patriotic events, if there's things out there that some of our listeners might be doing to build grassroots for causes that are important to them around freedom, this is the perfect theme song. I mean, it's the kind of thing where it could be done in group settings and really
he's told
fire
us we can
up.
Use this. I somehow we're going to make that a theme song for Pirate Money Radio. We may clip a little piece of it, but that freedom. Now, Albion Josiah, I'd never heard of before, but it turns out I've looking at voyagedallas.com and they're telling me he in the third grade sang Wind Beneath My Wings for Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
He's sung before Kings, King Chitobe of Nigeria. He's sung for White House performances during the Obama administration. He is a opera singer in the Luciano Pavarotti was his biggest inspiration as a classical tenor. I mean, it's an amazing job he did. It's an incredible, it reminds me of Lee Greenwood. It makes me feel like I'm proud to be an American, but it's got that Christian element that is so strong. It ties. It's kind of all the things we talk about here on Pirate Money Radio, bringing liberty, liberty, security, and values, bringing freedom to people with Christ and America.
It's a perfect theme song for the work we're doing here and others that are carrying on the cause across America out there.
All right. So we're going to be talking today about the things that we see upcoming in 2025, the projects that we've got. Mike is leading a lot of those projects. We're going to be bringing freedom. You know, I'm not going to sing and Mike's not going to sing for you, but
I'm working on my bass.
We're going to shorten our
actions.
Yeah. You know, Mike's wife is an incredible singer. She's an award-winning singer. She even wrote a song that mentions free man, not
That's
freedom.
It.
All right. So we'll be talking about 2025 and what's to come. Mike Carter and Kevin Freeman will be right back after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about, we played Danny Grego's song, Freedom. We're talking about freedom here, economic freedom for one thing, because if you're in debt, The Bible says those who are in debt are slave to the lender. And America is a nation. We're in debt, so we're not entirely free. And individuals are in debt. I mean, I just looked at the statistic. The average credit card debt now is $10,757 per credit card. And some people have two and three and four credit cards. So they're not.
You know, that's not hard to see happening when you see. I saw the last 4 months we're back on track for record inflation again. So people have certain budgets set, but you know, year after year, you start seeing that money worth less and less, unless you're getting the added income. People even on tight budgets are feeling that pain right now.
And what they've been doing is they've been meeting that gap between what they make and mm-hmm. what they have to spend using credit cards.
Yeah.
Now I want to put that in context. All of the credit card debt of all Americans combined is a little over $1 trillion, which is a lot of money. I mean, when you think about that, that's $1,000 billion. It's a ton of money, right?
Yeah, but we're doing so much better than our federal government.
Oh, no. Federal government is $36 trillion in debt. We added literally over $3 trillion this past year in new debt. And we're adding $1 trillion every 3 to 4 months to our national debt. So people are partly in slavery and not having freedom, but our federal government is massively in debt. And it shows up. Inflation is essentially a monetary phenomenon. That's what Milton Friedman said. Forever and always, it will be a in other words, is the government prints too much money. Why do they print too much money? Because they spend too much money. Yeah. Elon Musk is making this point all the time.
But even as good as he is, or that team with Vivek, I mean, they're talking about maybe being able to cut $1 trillion?
Oh, no, they're not talking. We'll get to that, but they can't cut $1 trillion. They're going to cut a fraction of that.
I was amortizing it over
time. Over time, yeah. But all right, at the personal level, Marnie and I were able to buy out our car leases. The 3 years was up. I extended the lease for 6 more months, and then I was finally able to pay it off, but only because my father had passed away and left me a small inheritance. So I was able to pay. Did you know the average age of a vehicle on the road is 13.6 years?
I saw that had increased. Although that doesn't surprise me because I usually run my cars till wheels fall off. So I might be skewing that a little bit, but we have seen that ticking up.
And because you can't afford to buy a new car because of inflation,
it's
everything.
Just not
car
a good
prices
investment.
Are,
I know. I'm in the economic war room. Like, man, they just depreciate. But no, but you're right. That's. But you look at what it cost. I would upgrade, but when you instead of looking at, well, gosh, we can buy a nice car for $30,000. Well, every car, no matter what it is, it could be Honda, it could be a toy, you name it, it's basically $45,000 up starting. And by the time you get a few options and you're in the 50s, 60s, it's crazy. Trucks, pickup trucks, it used to be, that's what the working men drove. That starts in the 60s and goes up to 120 now.
Yeah, I like that truck. It's $100,000 just for a pickup truck. It's getting crazy. So 30 years
now,
ago.
My Ford F-150 might be worth that much though, because it's just fun.
Well, your F-150 is worth that much because its previous owner, if somebody
exactly
bought it,
right.
Your previous owner would have been Mike Carter. You know, it's like John Voight. Remember the John Voight car on Seinfeld? They made this whole thing. George Costanza thought he bought John Voight's car, and it was more valuable to him because John Voight had driven it. Anybody that gets that Ford F-150 is Mike Carter drove this from Pirate Money Radio. It's going to be famous.
I don't think that's it. Actually, there's a whole story behind that. My father-in-law had that truck, and it's very special. And so it's just been a blessing.
Yeah, Jane's not giving that up, I'm sure. All right, so, but you think about it, 30 years ago, the average age of a vehicle on the road was 8 years. Now it is 13.6 years. Why? People hold on to their cars because of inflation. Inflation's been tough. Go into the restaurant. You just told me you took three people out for
Mexican food.
Yeah.
Not steak. Usually it used to be the steak dinners. Okay. We'll spend $100, $130. Now it was just quesadillas and tacos.
And how much was that?
With tip, it came to about $90. Now we did splurge and get dessert, but I'm
a
still.
Splurge. yeah. Got a slice of apple pie, did you?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we're facing a serious inflation problem. That's why we are Pirate Money Radio. We're helping people find freedom economically, help support your liberty, security, and values. And we know you probably saw this. The House just came out and blasted the financial service companies and the government, Justice Department, because they were monitoring everybody's spending. Isn't that creepy?
Creepy. I wish they'd monitor their own and take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they would too. Why aren't we monitoring their spending?
Because that's
their money is our money.
Exactly.
But our money is not their money. No. It's not supposed to be anyway.
And why are they monitoring that? Because they're trying to think of perceived economic threats. Where's economic freedom today?
Yeah, and they're monitoring people that are MAGA or Trump or for political reasons or religious reasons. You buy a Bible and they're going to check your credit card. Because you went to Mardell's and bought a Bible, they're going to be monitoring all of your transactions because you might be a threat. How are you a threat? If you're a Bible-believing Christian, I think you're probably the best citizen on planet Earth.
Yeah, I'm thinking of my innocent, anointed daughter who's got this powerful ministry, changed the world with Jesus, buying Bibles and giving them to kids across the world, thousands of Bibles.
And yet she's probably
probably the terrorist list right now.
Yeah.
You won't find a more non-threatening, loving person in the world, but that's, you know, all of a sudden, boop, they bought another 100 Bibles, another 100, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, that probably so. All right, so we have a solution for that we've been working on called Pirate Money. I wrote a book, Pirate Money. You can learn more at piratemoneybook.com. And Mike, we started getting calls in and said, I read your book. How do we do this in West Virginia? How do we do it in Kansas? How do we do it in Alaska? People started going nuts contacting me. We tried this in Texas, almost got it passed in 2023. They don't meet in 2024, so we started talking with legislators. Where are we now with pirate money? First, tell us how that could help. How does it protect our privacy? How does it protect against inflation? Those sorts of things.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be great if you had a money that was a stable store of value versus money that's losing value every month? So we saw this last year, your money that you had dropped 2.7%. If we go back to the 1970s, that dollar has dropped 90%. But if you look at gold over that time, it has held its value. And so what we want to do is enable people to have gold, deposit in a depository. It could be a Brinks, depends what each state does. They could use Brinks or another equivalent of their own vault.
But this is a state-based
initiative, functional, state-based legal tender, gold and silver. Put that gold in the depository. And then have an ATM debit card where I can spend that gold anywhere I spend, in this case, MasterCard. And it's completely transactional.
Or it could be American Express, could be a whole new thing, you know, depending
with these kinds of things. So some like Visa, some I hear about, you know, they're evil, this or the evil, that. You know, the world has adopted to credit cards and debit cards. We want to have a way that can quickly build household penetration. People can get this and say, hey, I can actually spend my gold anywhere that I can spend
but
these other cards.
But what if you don't own any gold?
Yeah, well, which is what happens with most people, because what do I do with that gold? I bury it in my basement or hide it in my basement or bury it in the ground somewhere, and I just kind of forget about it and decide, okay, well,
I'm not wealthy enough to have gold.
In fact, I think I heard Susie Orman the other day. They found some gold jewelry in the drawer, and they said, hey, you'd be surprised if you take that into a pawn shop and melt it, how much that's worth now. You should take that and put that into a Roth IRA. So that's been sitting there doing nothing. But if you need that in emergency, it's not accessible. It's like, how am I going to get, I got to fix my car. I mean, if we look at these stats here, if I'm spending $300 on groceries or if my car breaks down because it's now 14 years old versus less than five, I might have something where I got to fix it. Wouldn't it be nice to say, okay, I've got this ready money over here. I didn't want to spend. It's been keeping up with money with inflation. But if I need to, I can. I can spend it, and at least maybe it would cost me a little bit less
but
to repair that.
But the affordability, when I've shared this, one of the first things they say is, I can't afford gold. It's too expensive. Because gold is $2,700 thereabouts an ounce. Silver is $31, $32 an ounce. I remember when silver was $5 an ounce, and my barber was saying, I'm buying silver every week at $5 an ounce. Well, 10 ounces of silver then would buy a bag of groceries. $50.
Yeah.
Today, 10 ounces of silver is $320. That'll buy a bag of groceries.
Amazing how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, but what if I can't afford to buy an ounce of gold? With this system, explain how people can buy as little as a penny worth.
Yeah, I think of this as kind of the value meal. You can buy the Big Mac package, or you can say, no, I'm going to buy a little bit less today because I don't quite have that much discretionary money. You can buy as little as 1 cent worth of gold if you wanted to in this system, but that's not realistic.
So
$5, $10.
It's not just for rich people.
No, let's say you're working at a fast food, you're a young worker, just getting started in your career, and you're making minimum wage. You know what? I can put $10, $20 a month in this thing and start accumulating something that's going to keep up with value. That's what we're focused
on. And if we get this legislation passed, you'll be able to do it without tax worries, consequences, that sort of thing. You'll be able to save and hold money not dollars, money in the form of gold or silver. You'll be able to spend it. Now, I know this is a lot to cover in a short radio program. You know, you just got in your car, tuned in, and you heard a 10-second clip so far, and you're just like, now, what is this? You can learn more at transactionalgold.com, where a couple of dozen states right now, I think. How many states do you think will have legislation entered in this coming?
I think we'll have legislation in up to 20 states. We're talking to 30 states right now, but we're seeing a lot of momentum really picking up as we kick the year off here. So that's very exciting. And this is real. It's a big idea. Now, you know, you mentioned you heard it for the first time. It's hard to believe that it's such a big idea. When you hear it the first time, it's almost like, that can't be possible. We had Glenn Beck on. You were on Glenn Beck's show the other day. He read the book twice, and that light went off, and he's like, hey, this is a big idea. We got to get this thing done. That same thing has happened legislatively. We started to see this in other states. Now we're going on year one or year two in some states, and people are like, ah, why hasn't this been done before? It's actually there, and we're seeing influencers and political leaders get behind this idea.
If you want to get clarity on this, the easiest and best way to do it is to learn more at piratemoneybook.com and read the book Pirate Money. Because, you know, what we can't cover in 30 seconds or 5 minutes of your car drive to the church or whatever, it can be covered in a book. And I think it's a pretty easy to read book. People that read it like it. Some people in Florida read it. And what happened there?
Well, we've seen Florida go from people sending the book to their legislators to we were walking the Capitol last year and saw Pirate Money books on desk of multiple legislators out there. So small groups are calling me up from Florida saying, what else can we be doing to help get this across the finish line?
And what did the CFO just...
And that's the super exciting part. So the CFO launches a study on gold and silver as legal tender. Now, what's significant is the CFO is getting ready to run for Matt Gaetz's
congressional Jimmy Patronis.
Office. Yeah. And I was like, okay, is he still going to be behind this thing or is he going to lose interest? No, he's leading off his congressional race with this idea as CFO, and I feel like we've got some serious momentum behind it. That press release is out. Well, you know, I'm sure we'll put it on the website, and people need to see what's going on.
A little over a year ago, I met with Governor Ron DeSantis at Liberty University, and I shared with him briefly this idea, and he said, if Florida and Texas did this together, no one could stop them. We have legislative progress in Texas and Florida and two dozen other states. We're going to make this happen. If you really want to understand it, you need to stay over after the break, where Mike Carter and I will discuss pirate money and explain it.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Mike Carter. And if you just tuned in and you've not heard this before, you'll say, what in the world is pirate money? Pirate Money Radio, arg, you know. What we're talking about is a new monetary system. Actually, it's an old one. It's the one our founders in the Constitution wrote in Article 1, Section 10. They talked about converting, making money out of gold and silver. That is real money. It's biblical money. You pick up your Bible, go Genesis to Revelation, read what money is. It's gold, silver, sometimes copper. And we're talking about returning, going back to the future, and returning to where we were when the nation was founded, with actual gold, actual silver, rejecting paper money, as at least having an option to use gold and silver. That's what this legislation is about. And Mike, you were talking about Jimmy Patronis, the chief financial officer. Most states have a comptroller or a treasurer. In Florida, they're so modern and sophisticated, they have a chief financial officer, and he's a really, really, really good guy.
Yeah, and let me tell you kind of what's happening with these. This is a study. And, you know, in the legislative world, as I learned the world of politics, oftentimes legislation will go to studies as a way to kill them. But I will say in the case of Florida, what I'm seeing there, in the case of what we just saw happen in Utah, these are not going to die. These are going to say, we want to make sure we got all the dots dotted, all the T's crossed, and we're getting ready to launch this thing in a big way. Utah, we just had some significant success there with that, with key thought leaders. These weren't just people saying, oh, this sounds like a good idea, let's do it. These were financial institutions and treasurers saying, we've got to make this happen.
So Treasurer Marla Oakes, I name dropped when I was on Glenn Beck's radio program, the other Marla Oakes. Oh, what a good guy. I mean, his eyes lit up because Marla Oakes is
he deserves a name drop. That guy's been amazing.
He helped defeat natural asset companies. He's helped fight wokeness. He really is a good guy. He's part of the State Financial Officers Foundation, really good group. Anyway, Marla Oakes and Ken Ivory, state representative, they passed, at the time, leading legislation that allowed them to put, $100 and some million into gold.
I think it's been creeping up. I thought it was 120, now it's up to 140, and they want to do more, I think, and now they've studied this more.
Yeah, so that's great. So they'll put money, state money in gold, and then they studied, how can we practically make it possible for Utahns to spend, save, spend, convert their money into gold. We say buy gold. We don't really mean that. We mean convert their money into gold, like you'd convert to a euro or a Mexican peso or something, and then hold it in the form of gold or silver and then spend it. And that study included, I mean, I got to meet the vice chairman of the Federal Reserve under Trump, a really good guy named Randy Quarles. And he said, yeah, no, I think people should have this option. Now, he said, be careful. Don't tell them the dollar's going away. It's not going away. It won't go away in my lifetime or a kid's lifetime. You know, he was very clear on that, but he said, people should have an option and Utah should do this. Not just him, though. The head of the Utah Bankers Association was a part of the study group. The American representative of the World Gold Council was a part of the study group. Legislators, you know, leading citizens in Utah participated in this, and I was honored to be part of it and help write the study. Yeah. So they came up with this. It is very popular. And we did this in Oklahoma. We went and met in the Senate in Oklahoma. There was Senator David Bullard hosted us, and you testified.
Yep. And again, more enthusiasm there. You know, there's five states that have already passed gold and silver as legal tender. Now what we're doing is going to the next step in those states and saying, right, well, let's make it transactional. And then let's make sure that there's any state taxes or things on the transaction of gold, you can do that. But to go back and revisit how easy it is to buy gold, this is simple as going on an app on your phone, buying the gold. You're going to pay 0.5% at this point. Each state will have their own ways of doing this. You can move your money from dollars to gold electronically. It's sitting in the vault then. But then let's say I think, oh, gold's gone up really high. It might be going down for some reason. I think I want to move it back to dollars. I can just get on there, move it right back to dollars if I want to do that.
And
this
silver
is
now
seamless.
Too,
yeah,
right?
Gold and silver, seamless back and forth. Or if you see, hey man, inflation looks like it's going to keep ticking up, I think I need to maybe put a little bit more dollars over here. I'm going to do that. It's easy to do, but it's transactional, it's functional, it's available when you need it in an emergency. We still see people, I mean, your house payment, your car payment, all that stuff is in dollars. We still see people doing things in dollars every day. But this is about having some of that ready money that's keeping up with inflation, that's going to have some privacy rights, that's going to have some added security to it, in my opinion, that really makes it a viable option for every American out there.
See, the scary thing for a bank says, well, you're going to move all your money out of my bank and you're going to put it in gold. And you know, they made that same argument. I was around when they created the money market funds and the banks said, oh, no. If you do this, everyone take their money out of the bank and put it in money market fund at a broker dealer. Well, banks caught on. Number one, they were able to offer money market funds themselves. And I talked to my friend Eric Davidson, he was chief financial officer at Wells Fargo. He is a Baylor University of Finance professor, and his study area is behavioral finance. What do people do with their money? And he said, look, when banks realize that this is something that's popular, all they have to do is add it to their app. So this becomes like, you know, banks used to fear Venmo and PayPal and Cash App, but yet people still use banks.
Yeah. The banks that catch on to this and lead with this are going to grow their business. In fact, I saw some data the other day. When you look at Gen Z and the millennials out there, they're on average about four or five banks. They got all these different systems out there. What they're looking for is the bank that's going to make it easiest for them to do this, that's going to combine these things together, and then that's where the money's going to flow, and then they're going to split some of it out from there. But what's better? I lose the customer completely, or I build new customers, and the new customers say, well, I'm going to have some more money sitting in there because I'm going to move some to gold, I'm going to move some over here, but I want it in my bank over here.
You know, I talked to a lot of the young people. I got the honor of speaking at Charlie Kirk's America Fest, and we, you know, a lot of conversations around this. and people were saying, you know what, this is like a gold or silver Venmo or like a Cash App with gold and silver. And it truly is. Peer-to-peer, you'll be able to pay your friends with gold and silver. You'll be able to pay your bills. You'll be able to receive your wages in gold and silver.
And that's fun. That's what the ARG is about. You know, pirates, when they say ARG, is when they're excited.
Yeah.
And so I can see, you know, another way to pay is happening everywhere right now. This is the ARG. This is the cool. This is the exciting way to do it.
So we've got some polling data on this that we're working on, but the ultimate poll was Proposition 7. I mean, when a poll goes, they'll say, we surveyed 300 households or we surveyed 3,000 households. Well, in Texas, in the Republican primary, they certified over 2 million households by a vote. It was called Proposition 7. They asked a very simple question. Should we use our Texas Bullion Depository and establish authority to make the gold and silver useful as legal tender so you could use it to spend? So functional currency. And the results were?
1.6 million people. Absolutely, we want this, 77%. But and what's amazing about this is this was organic. No advertising campaigns, nothing like that. People just intrinsically are smart enough to say, you know what? My dollars seem to be doing this. I'd like to have some optionality. And the idea of being able to have gold and silver and spend it if I need to in an easy way, that just makes sense to me.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense to people once you understand it. And I'm telling you, the 23.5%, less than 500,000 that voted against it, almost 1.6 million people voted for it, less than 500,000 voted against it. They didn't understand.
No, I actually talked to somebody who a husband and wife, and the wife voted for it. And she goes, oh, I'm so mad at my husband. He said he just didn't have time to look at it or understand it completely yet. But once she shared what it was about, he's like, oh, yeah, I would have been for that. You're going to see that number 80, 90% if people truly understand. That's why we're seeing bipartisan support. We're seeing Republicans and Democrats get behind this and say, this just makes sense.
We were at the state convention, and I'm telling you, the pirate money booth was the most popular booth there, not simply because we were giving chocolate gold coins away, we were, and pirate booty, you know, that snack, we were giving a lot of that away, but people came up, I want to know more about this. And they actually pushed past the candies and the giveaways and things. And I said, I want to understand it. And they stop and talk to us. I watched other people walking to other booths. They'd go and pick up a Reese's or M&M bag or something. And then they'd move on. Oh, thank you. And move on.
We almost needed crowd control. We were the booth that was getting the attention. People were gathering around it and people were having to walk around just to get down the aisle because this is that kind of idea. And we sold out when we didn't sell it. We had two educational sessions. It was standing room only, packed up. People said, I want to find more information
and
about this.
And standing applause. I mean, people that were seated stood up and applauded afterwards. You know, and that's where the magic speech comes from. But I tell you, who hosted us there? We did a book signing there. It was Patriot Mobile is who hosted it. And we're talking about money. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile is a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And they helped us get to San Antonio for that. I gave what we now term as the magic speech. You've given the same speech a few times. We really just talk about five undeniable truths of life. Do you remember the five truths?
I do. Debt path unsustainable.
Right. That's $36 trillion. We can't keep that up. All
de-dollarization,
right.
Other nations targeting our currency.
BRICS nations are going after our currency. We've covered that in this radio program multiple times.
The one everybody knows, inflation. All right. So inflation is creating a wealth gap out there that's not sustainable. People are feeling that. You're seeing that everywhere right now.
The more money we print, wealthy people get wealthier and poor people lose ground and middle class loses ground. That's just an undeniable truth. It's called the Cantillon effect.
We got a great video on that for those that watch our show and so forth. Check that out. CBDC is still a real threat. People are coming out against it, but you know, we're one administration away or one economic disaster away from that becoming something that's real out there. And we've got to have alternatives.
Central bank digital currency is an absolute control on your money to where you have only electronic money and the government can monitor everything like like they've proven we can't trust them. They'll monitor your existing Bank of America account or whatever. They'll monitor your existing bank accounts, your credit card statements, and all that. And if you bought Bibles, you know, they monitor what you're doing, putting you on some terror watch list or something. So we cannot trust them to create a purely central bank digital currency that absolutely controls. They'll monitor what you buy, when you buy, if you have permission to give it to someone. They'll cut you off if they want to. They'll take it away. They'll do reparations. I mean, all of that. We watched the Bank for International Settlements guy come out and said, absolute control and the technology to enforce it.
Yeah. This is so critical. And people really understand all the dynamics. We've got to make it happen. Then finally, it's just there's new technologies. There's new ways to pay out there. And we really can make money great again.
Yeah. So bottom line is money's been changing many ways for the last several decades. For my whole life, there was no PayPal, no Venmo and everything. No money market funds, no debit cards and credit cards, no ATM machines. And all those have been recently. But even before that, money was all different kinds of things. All right. So this is what we talk about at Pirate Money Radio. We've got a plan. We're going to be executing it in 2025. When we come back with Mike Carter, we'll explain exactly what you need to know about pirate money.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And happy new year. We're getting ready for a new year to begin. And we were talking, Mike Carter and I were talking about the five undeniable truths. The first one you mentioned, Mike, was our debt path is unsustainable. And I think that's a absolute. We increased our debt over $3 trillion in 2024. Yeah. We can't keep doing that.
No. I mean, when it gets to the point where nobody even understands how much our debt is, that's a recipe for disaster. And no one knows how much a trillion is, let alone 36 trillion, let alone a trillion every 90 days.
Yeah.
No matter how big a budget you have. And ours isn't big enough, and we're one of the biggest economies in the world, that's a problem.
Yeah, so $1 trillion, for context, we said this earlier, is all of the credit card debt of every American, and we're paying that in interest every year right now.
Yeah.
That's in interest only, and we're adding $1 trillion to our debt every 3 to 4 months. That's not sustainable. So what is the solution for that? Do we have good news in 2025? I sure hope so. What do you think about Doge?
I'm intrigued by it. I mean, I even saw on the news, one of the news clips the other day that reducing waste is coming back in and kind of cool again. I remember back to the old days of Al Gore with a hammer on the Tonight Show or something, showing something ridiculous and how he was going to do that. I believe this team has a chance to really make a difference. I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be enough of a difference to get real breakthrough, but maybe it's a start.
If we put a whole bunch of things cobbled together, I think we have a hope for bending that curve. Really, honestly, if you do the math, if we grow government at 1% and the economy grows at 4%, it self-corrects fairly mm-hmm. quickly. The problem is we've been growing government at 6% and the economy's been growing at 2%.
Yeah.
That's where the problem
is. And when we grow the government, we're growing jobs, we're growing overhead, we're not really growing productivity per se.
Right. And that's where we want Elon Musk. I mean, if anybody, he's the richest man in the world, maybe. I saw his wealth is $400 billion. And Vivek Ramaswamy, and I've met Vivek a few times. I've never met Elon Musk, but I've met Vivek a few times. And we've had on this program, Kathy Barnett was here, and she ran the grassroots campaign when Vivek ran for president. She knows him, and she's promised to get him to come on our radio program.
Great. Great. Love to get him part of the NSIC as well.
Yeah. So bottom line, our budget's $7 trillion a year. Most of that is mandatory spending like Medicare, Social Security, and interest on the debt. Now, you can't just say, well, we're not paying interest because then everybody that's bought our bonds would, you know, dump the bonds and ruin the economy. You can't just cut Medicare, not directly. And Social Security, I feel like I've paid in my whole life and now I'm eligible to start taking out early benefits if I want to. I'm trying to decide, should I do it, should I not? I know you and I have talked about that.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you're a little older than me, so I can kind of follow
yeah,
see what you do.
Yeah, 1 year.
All right.
not even quite a year. Mine's I'm in August and you're in March,
That's it.
It's not even quite a year. But anyway, I'm barely older than you. But we are talking about do we take the Social Security? That's owed us. It feels like an entitlement. The government doesn't treat it like an entitlement, but it's not something that can easily be cut. So discretionary spending, total what we can, the Congress can set every year, is considered about $2 trillion, including almost half of that in defense. So if Vivek and Elon are able to save 10%, they could drop about $200 billion off. That's a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
Yeah.
$200 billion in 5 years,
it gets to that $1 trillion mark. I was thinking, maybe they can cut $1 trillion out.
Yeah, in 5 years. But in 5 years at the current rate, we will add $3 trillion plus growth. Might be $20 trillion we added to the $36 trillion. We'd be at $56 trillion in 5 or 6 years. That's not sustainable.
And the challenge is, though, it's not just U.S. debt. I mean, every country out there is on this kind of debt cliff, correct?
That is absolutely true. But we've got some good news in that, and maybe a good hint for that is Argentina and Milei. They elected and put in place conservative policies, and those conservative policies have brought in Argentina's monthly inflation rate to the lowest in 3 years. He promised he'd get it under 3% per month, and he got it down to 2.7%. And why that's such a big deal is I'm looking here. They had on an annual basis, their inflation rate was 209%. 209% in September. They're bringing it down.
What does that look like? If it was 209% inflation in the U.S. right now, that hit, what does my hamburger cost me tomorrow?
Oh, gosh. It triples in price, right?
Yeah.
So instead of $10 for a hamburger, which is too much, it'd be $30 for a hamburger in a year. When Milei took office, inflation was running 25% a month. Now it's 2.7% a month. That's a miracle. What did he do? He did some of the same policies. He did essentially MAGA policies that Trump is talking about. And I want to talk about
We need to cue up the YMCA music because I saw he was doing the Trump shuffle.
Yeah,
the other day at the Notre Dame event.
Yeah, that's awesome. We can do the Trump YMCA and do the little Trump dance. So what Trump is doing is he's put Kennedy in place for MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. How do you bend the cost curve at Medicare? We pay way too much for our health care, so you make America healthy, get the food healthy again, get some of the prescription drugs maybe in line. If we do some of those principles, we could bend that cost. We spend more money on Medicare than anything else. What if we take the Defense Department and make them actually war fighters and not woke fighters? You know, not being woke in everything. Remember, we talked about this. They were querying our nuclear weapons under Biden.
Yeah, not querying, queering, right?
Queering, yeah, making
like
them
cure, like LGBTQ,
like gay
weapons. Yeah,
what is a queer nuclear weapon? But what if we make it war fighting capabilities instead? What if we reduce regulation? Remember, Mike, when we were talking about how much it's cost the average household in regulation only? Thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can make it real
thousands of dollars a year and real income if that regulation were gone. I mean, average salaries of over $300,000, $350,000 sounds too good to be true, too hard to believe, but there's a lot of truth.
That's
there,
how much that regulation costs the American family. You don't realize it. Argentina is beginning to realize it. They're seeing the inflation rate come down. All right. So reshoring manufacturing, winning a trade war. Now, we've got some challenging things. The president's policy is to emigrate or to remove and deport any immigrants that are here illegal immigrants. That's going to put an impact on the job market and might cause some inflation because you have fewer people available to the labor pool. Yeah. So you may have to pay more to get an employee.
Yeah. Yeah. Which probably is what some people voted for because they saw what was happening to them and to their wages. So that's a healthy thing, but it's got to be done on the right timing to not create the perfect storm.
Yeah, so you don't want a wage price spiral, but when inflation goes up, you better hope your wages go up in response, and then you knock off the inflation by producing more here at home. It'll be an interesting inflation rate. It's not ticking down right now. It's considered sticky. And we got bad consumer, bad producer price reports, much worse than people were expecting. And those were actually depressed because the Biden administration was doing some, well, what tricks? Like, oil prices are high. Let's release from our strategic petroleum reserve to lower oil prices, trying to help him win the election.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got
not a lot of great ideas coming from that administration.
No, it was all geared to winning the next election, and that's not good. But what we will have under Trump, if they reduce regulation, if they do the DOGE, if Make America Healthy Again has an impact, if we reshore manufacturing, if we do a solid immigration policy, we will have a race to see if inflation wins or if liberty wins. But Argentina is an example. We have a great potential. We should take our inflation rate. It ought to be under 2%. In fact, if we put pirate money in place, we would have virtually no inflation and a very well-functioning economy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, let's get it done. I'm going to give you an ARG for that. And in 2025, if you have a legislator that you know, or whoever your legislator is, make sure they get a pirate money book or get information from you and figure out how you can get this moving in your state.
Yeah. If you want more information, it can be found at piratemoneybook.com on the book and the whole concept. But on the state initiatives, you can learn more at transactionalgold.com. All right, we've got some other threats coming up. We'll have to talk about those in future programs. But you know, how is the great negotiator, the art of the deal, Donald Trump going to do in Ukraine, the Middle East, China, Taiwan, North Korea, and all even the turmoil that we have in Latin America and Europe? What do you think? You think he'll make some deals?
Yeah, it's good to see the reception that he's gotten so far. I mean, he is really recognized as the acting president already, and he's got people coming to the table, and that's the first start of making a deal happen, right? He's got Mexico and Canada and everybody else coming and saying, okay, what do I got to do? So I think he started the conversation. I'm optimistic.
He did great with the Abraham Accords in his first term, and they are coming to the table because he is showing strength. If we don't do something 8-10 years from now, they won't care what America thinks.
Yeah.
But right now, he's doing it. We've got some great friends going into the administration. We trust them. One that in particular that's been out here to Liberty Hawk is Scott Turner, who's going to take over the Housing and Urban Development, a protege of Dr. Ben Carson, a dear friend. And that can help the cost curve, too, if we get housing taken care of, because that's a big part of the inflation. Housing, energy, drill, baby, drill. That's going to help keep inflation down. Reduced regulation, all of these things are going to make a difference. So, well, Mike, I am so pleased to be working with you on pirate money legislation. We'll have to do a future pirate money radio talk on the NSIC Institute and the way that's going to make a real impact for people who are investing.
Yeah, excited to be a part of this. And it's just amazing to see the doors that are opening up. And I'm excited about what's going to happen going forward in this year. I think there's some great things happening, great momentum. Thank you to all of the Economic War Room patriots and Pirate Money Radio patriots that are listening and taking action and saying, what else can we do to make a difference out there?
If you've got comments, questions, you want to be a part of this movement, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That's afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And we're celebrating Argentina's real milestone in bringing inflation down. How did they do it? They tied their currency to the United States dollar because we print less than Argentina. We want to tie our currency to gold and silver. I think that's the future. We're so thankful for all of us, all of you listening. Pray together for a blessed new year. Be with us and come back next week. Kevin Freeman, Mike Carter, Pirate Money Radio.